Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the blood that we are partaking in today. That emblem, Father, which once again is what allowed us to have our sins forgiven, washed away from completely so that we are as white as snow. And as we stand before your throne, Lord, we are justified because his blood was shed for our sins. So, Father, we thank you once again for this blood, for it is in the power of this blood, Lord, that we have our freedom from sin. Not only the penalty of sin, but the power of sin that Satan had over us. And Father, we, as the song we sang today, can see a victory in Jesus when we continue to trust in the power of his blood that has given us life. So Father, we thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for this blood. And let us partake of this blood, of the emblem. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be your name. Today is a marvelous day. We get to celebrate the independence of America. It is a blessing to us, those that have lived here. Especially, I know for me, as I got to travel across seas the last several years to other countries to see what it is like where freedoms are not as free as we have. They're not evident as we have here. We take a lot of things that we have here in our society for granted, but we must never forget it. The one sad thing is I am also relative to it is that I have never experienced being in a physical battle or a war, but still the evidence is true that many have suffered through war, experienced it, and some have even given their life. Today, in my message, we will celebrate tomorrow. United States of America will celebrate its 246th birthday of independence as a nation. Hallelujah. A nation based on the ideals of liberty, responsibility, godliness, and the freedom to become what God intended us to become was a new and revolutionary idea. The celebration of our nation's birthday is really a celebration of freedom. We celebrate the precious gift of freedom we have because of the price that others have paid. You see, we must remember that freedom is not free. It is not. It costs us a great price. Freedom is very expensive. It has cost some people everything, including their lives. Freedom isn't free, but it is extremely valuable. The ideal of freedom is an ideal that our founding fathers believed valuable enough to risk their own lives and place everything on it. They risked their fortunes, their families, their reputations, and their honor on it. They risked their very lives, and many of them paid for our freedoms with their blood and the blood of their children. Today, as we worship in security and comfort, we do so because thousands of men and women have given their lives and shed their blood on domestic and foreign soil. They died in forsaken places with names not remembered so that we could experience the joy and responsibility of freedom. In a letter to William Smith dated November 13, 1787, Thomas Jefferson wrote, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants. No, freedom is not free. The price is always paid in blood. The blood spilled by Americans in the past 2.5 centuries is not the first time blood was spilled for freedom. The blood spilled on battlegrounds of Concord and Charleston and Yorktown was not the first time that blood was spilled for freedom. No, 2,000 years ago, a man spilled his blood upon the ground of Calvary so that we could all experience freedom. Jesus came in order to bring us freedom from the bondage of Satan, sin, and death. As Christians, we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. In our text today in John chapter 8, Jesus reveals how we can experience this freedom. The message, I'm sure you know and have heard time and time again. But ministers will always preach the gospel as long as there are those still in bondage. It must be preached. It must be sought after for those that come up after us. Generation after generation needs to hear it. Exodus 20, verse 2 says, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. It is God that brings us out of bondage. The Hebrews were in bondage in Egypt, prisoners calling out to God, yearning for freedom. God heard them and delivered them out of the house of bondage. There are people still today yearning for freedom. They want to be free from the bondage that makes their lives miserable. Jesus tells us of a way to have that freedom, and that is to know the truth. Jesus is the truth. Truth is not an abstract concept. It is a reality. When Pilate asked, what is truth? The truth was standing before him, and he didn't even know it. Jesus came into the world to bear witness of the truth, and he was the truth incarnate. The truth in Jesus frees us from the consequences of sin, from self-deception, and from the deception of Satan. The truth in Jesus shows us the way to eternal life with God. The truth in Jesus will indeed set us free. Free from sin's penalty, from the corrosive effects of sin in our lives, and from the curse that we inherited from Adam's original sin in the garden that caused man to fall into bondage. I declare today is a day of independence. For in Jesus, we are free and free indeed. Though we may be free in America, and many claim to be Christians, yet many still struggle with being bound by Satan's power that causes us to sin. Enslaved not only to drugs, alcohol, or fornication, but to other such strongholds as hatred, the fear, anger, envy, lying, grief, poverty, power, materialism, work, success, and even religion itself has imprisoned us so that we are not free. We see it all over the world we go. They claim when the church, when people outside the church look at the church, they see very little difference. That is sad, because we were called to come out from among the world so that they can see a difference. Christians trying to address this issue, thinking, I'm in bondage and I can't get out. claim, well, while I'm in here, I'm going to try to look good while I'm here. So what they do, we decorate ourselves with piety. We decorate ourselves by going to church. We go decorate ourselves by going into ministries and saying we did what we are supposed to do. We go and accomplish Bible studies, but still find ourselves in bondage. Why? Because we have truly not yielded to Christ. We still are locked up in the bondage in our own spirits and are in a life that's walking with chains shackled to us. But let us look what Jesus tells us about freedom and how we may attain it, achieve it. Can I have everyone turn to John chapter 8? We'll start with verse 31. Here Jesus gives us the secret and guidance that we need. And you realize the forefathers that start this country, there were many that were pastors and they understood what freedom was. They came forth for religious freedoms and they fought for them. Today we were heading for those same things. Starting in verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews which believed him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Why sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. The first instructions we have here for Jesus for us to obtain freedom is to abide in his word. It says, if you abide in my word. That word if means we have a choice. Each and every day we have a choice to abide in his word. Do I believe who Jesus said he is? And do I trust what he has said? Only when we put our faith in Jesus Christ can his words become alive to us. That is just not mental thinking, but it is something that penetrates into the soul, into the very heart of a man and woman. In his words, he said, we must abide. Not our mother's word, not our father's word, not the words of the great philosophers of our day or time, not the words of our government leaders, and not the words of the religious leaders. Christ and Christ alone is the living word made flesh. It is his word that we must abide in, no one else's. If we want to be free, we must choose whom we will serve. We will either choose Christ or we will choose another. Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. We choose. Abide here means to continue, to remain, to dwell in. We are to continue to learn, to apply the word to our lives, and to live by it. to literally saturate ourselves with Jesus, the living word, to linger or to wait in his presence until his spirit comes and illuminates us to the understanding of his word so that we can be his witnesses through the power that he gives us. It's waiting in the presence of Christ. Many Christians still struggle with strongholds of sin because they fail to abide. They abandon God's word for secular thinking. We get the advice from everyone else, but we do not heed the Lord's. And those who know the word and even can quote it are still not free because they do not abide in Christ enough. They just come and are topped with him like a condiment that we put superficially on meat to enhance its flavor. It only lasts for a time. But Jesus wants us to abide in him like when meat is marinated over time. It gives it flavor, but not on the surface, but through and through. It literally transforms the taste of the meat. It no longer tastes like whatever, whether it's chicken, beef, or whatever. Jesus wants to transform our lives through abiding with him. As we hang out with him, he renews our minds through the washing of his word. He cleans us up. Spiritual transformation is not a microwave. It is a crock pot process. It takes time. We must understand that in this get it now society, it is not how we are set free from our strongholds. We expect to go to church, to be prayed for, and to be freed instantaneously. Just like some of us drink diet beverages to solve our bad diet. Doesn't work. Jesus says these things only come by prayer and fasting. You want to be set free? We need to spend time with him. Abiding in his presence and absorbing his word transforms us from the inside out and allows us to be different. Abiding is done by hearing the word, by learning the word, by memorizing the word, by quoting the word, by referring to the word, and most of all, utilizing the word in our lives. It is just not here. It's got to be part of our being. As we abide in the word, he calls us to see with a different perspective, a different orientation. And this makes a difference in the way we live life. Knowing what Jesus thinks about any and every issue, how he feels about it, and how he wants to interact with us in these situations is only found through spending time with him. Then we see here in verse 32, you will know the truth. As we spend time with the Lord, his truth continues to be part of us because we are saturated in him. We long to be with him and we become one. He prayed that in the garden, that we become one with him. You will know the truth. first thing we know that truth exists. And truth is an absolute standard by which reality is measured. God created reality, so He and He alone reveals the truth about that reality in which we live. Man wasn't there. They were created later. But God revealed this reality of the truth to man. Next, truth is knowable. It is not hidden information. God has revealed it to us so that we could live free. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more truth is revealed, and the more truth becomes a part of our life. If we only visit Jesus on Sunday, and that's all we get, we will have very little truth. That is why many Christians will come, will be moved by the Spirit, but when they leave this place, shortly thereafter, the power of the Spirit fades from them because they are not focused on Christ and His Word. It must abide. It must abide in us. In order to know something, we must get it in our brains through reading, observation, and study. It takes time. What we hear each Sunday is great. But we must be like the Bereans. When Paul preached the gospel to them, they went into the Word and searched it out to see if what he was saying was true. We need to search it out and make sure it is true. Not only logically, mentally, but experientially. To know God in who He is, to know His Son in who He is, takes time. All relationships take time if you want them to be strong. Knowledge of the Word doesn't just happen by accident. Knowledge comes to us because we avail ourselves to know something. In this case, it is the Word of God. God's truth is sure and trustworthy. Why? Because He is true. All He says is truthful. And He has established His truth to never fail, but accomplish what He has sent it out to do. Everything that is established by God's Word. And it cannot be changed. God has set it in place. And He has did this from the beginning. So we can take confidence and rest in Him. That because He is an immutable God, we don't have to worry about Him changing. Because He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. God's truth exposes lies and deceptions. And that's why it is very important for us to know it. Because if we do not know it, Satan can easily deceive us. That is why there's people that specifically monitor on studying money. What real money looks like. So that when counterfeit comes, they can pick it out easily. If we do not know the Word of God, we can stumble very easily because Satan, our adversary, is very clever at lying. The way you know you got the truth is that it sets you free. Each one of us here today have bondages, have strongholds, have things in our life that the Lord wants to clear up. There is not a man, woman, or child that has made it yet, but is continually growing in Christ. It is the power of the truth that is transferable to us to give us freedom. And it is this freedom where the truth, in verse 32, says the truth will make you free. When we know the truth, it is the truth that liberates us. Jesus said, I am the truth, because Jesus is the revelator of truth, which is the knowledge of God, and all he created associated with life and freedom. You need answers? God has them all. And he has done it through Christ. I don't care what issues we may be in the 21st century, 22nd century, what, 21st century, and going to the 22nd, Lord, I hope you come quickly. But God's standards have never changed. The truth is still the truth. Truth will always hold true through all of time. It will never change, never fail, never decay, but will be good even in eternity. Truth goes to work in our lives, revealing false teachings that keep us in bondage. Then it begins breaking chains of sin, of curses, of habits, and deception. And this can only happen when we yield to the deception. Many of us deal with thinking in our minds that causes us not to do the things God has called us to do or asked us to do in His Word, because of certain habits, certain ways of thinking that Satan has deceived us or the world has deceived us into believing. But when we abide with Christ and allow Him to saturate us, something happens. It happens through meditation, through reading the Word and studying God's Word, that it gets into our minds, then into our hearts, then into our spirits, so that it is displayed in our lives. Jesus said, you can see your life, you don't hide it under a bushel, but you allow it to shine. When we apply the truth to our lives, we are set free. And the truth of Jesus Christ is the only key to set us free. There is no other key to freedom. Men may think there is, they claim it, but that freedom only lasts temporarily till they find out it was not to begin with. Satan can blind our eyes to believe something is that is not. But God opens his eyes.